בעזרת השם, in 2 days is the month of Elul, the month we're all been waiting for. So we got to learn a little bit what we need to do during the month of Elul, what can be achieved, and to be sure that we're ready for the month. Better to learn it before the month starts than to start learning it during it. So we know that the month of Elul is a very auspicious time, and many spiritual things can be achieved. Bezrat Hashem, we'll learn just a little bit of the laws of the month of Elul, just that we can get ready the right way. We know that from the month of the Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippurim, it's a very auspicious time to do tshuva. ואף שבכל השנה הקדוש ברוך הוא מקבל את תשובתם של השבים אליו בלב שלם, מכל מקום ימים אלו מוכשרים וזמנים לתשובה. Even though every day of the year Hashem is willing to accept our תשובה, and every day is a good auspicious time to do תשובה, but these are more auspicious time that the gates of mercy are open. And the reason for that is כי בראש חודש אלול עלה משה רבנו על הר סיני לקבל לוחות שניים. The reason for that is because on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the last time, the third and last time to the mountain, and he was there for 40 days and came back on Yom Kippurim. וירד בעשירי בתשרי שאז היה גמר כפרתם. Moshe Rabbeinu came down on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippurim, and that's why he decided that that day will be Yom Kippurim, because after 40 days of prayers, finally, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to press the right button, and he was able to figure out the trick how to get the mercy, what's called the 13 attributes of mercy of Hashem, to open. He mentioned the 13 attributes of mercy, what we mention when we say vidui, and that's what caused Hashem to say, Salachti kidvarecha, I will forgive you as you have requested, and he came down on Yom Kippur, and since then that became the Day of Atonement. דורשי רשומות אמרו, ואשר לא צדה ואלוקים אנה לידו ושמתי לך. The word Elul, we mentioned that in couple classes, but the word Elul is the acronym of different verses that we learn, and we learn a hint about the month of Elul. We mentioned last class about Ani ledodi ודודי לי. And there are many different verses that the acronym of Elul is a hint for something. So we have another verse, that the verse is Ana le'ado v'samti lach mekom miklat, is that it's talking about when we read in the Torah about the refuge cities, Arei Miklat, when chas v'shalom somebody kills by mistake. Didn't intend to do that, but he killed somebody by mistake. Then the rule is that that person has to run away to a refuge city, Ir Miklat. Why? So the person, the family from the person who got killed, will not seek revenge and kill him. And this Ir Miklat is where he's safe. It's not exactly jail, but you are kind of jailed. You can't leave that city till the Kohen Gadol dies. But this serves as a refuge city, that you can hide there and you're safe there. And this pasuk is talking about, it's saying, Ana le'ado, I will be in the mercy of his hand, v'samti lach makom miklat, and I will place you, and I will create for you a place of refuge. So the words, Ana le'ado v'samti lach, is the acronym of Elul. Teaching us, Rashi Devot Elul v'romez le'torah k'mamar chazal divrei Torah koltim, it's teaching us that the 40 days between Rosh Chodesh Elul till Tishrei, or if now when we're looking just of the 29 days of Elul, that it's a refuge. It's a place for me to come and to be safe. To be safe because now starting the judgments, it's actually the time where I can come much, much closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu without the effort that I have to do throughout the year. The teachings of Hasidut explains that there's a concept that is called HaMelech Basadeh, the king is in the field. What does it mean? When the king, during the year, is in his palace, he's sitting in his chamber, and to get into the king is impossible or nearly impossible. You have to go through a lot of selection till you get maybe an appointment, and then the appointment is very quick. It's very hard to get into an appointment. But if the king is going out of the palace on a trip, on the way back of the trip, then he walks through the city or through the field, and that's a good opportunity to have the entire the city to come out to greet the king. And when we see, for example, when there's a presidential elections, then you see the candidate comes out to the street, shake everybody's hands, suddenly he's your best friend. Now try to talk to the president, he doesn't even, excuse my language, he's not going to even spit to your direction. So, but when it's the election time, they smile. I don't even know how they can smile for 14 hours every day. I don't know how they probably have some type of a training session. How can you smile like this the whole day long on a fake smile? And they shake everybody's hands and hug everybody. And so lehavdil, not to even compare, when the king comes through the town, then everybody can approach the king and wave, shake his hand. In our generation, take a selfie. So this is the time when Hashem, during the month of Tishrei, Hashem is sitting in his chamber in the palace. Nobody can come in. During the year, it's not so easy to access the king. But on the month of Elul, then we know that the king is in the field. Hashem is going out of his chamber, off his chair, going out. Hashem is not a president that needs to be elected, even though we crown him and we so to say, announce him as our king on Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't need to convince everybody with fake smiles. But during the month of Elul, he's very easy to access, very easy to approach. He's not sitting with his special suit and the crown on his chair that the judgment might be harsh. So in the month of Elul, it's like a refuge city. And our sages compare that the month of Elul is like the tax season. Tax season, the entire year, you run your business. And you're busy with managing the business. You're not really looking now at every expense and every income. I mean, you kind of look over the business. But when comes the end of the year, when you do your tax seasons, that's when you start going through all the details. How much did I make? How much did I spend? Maybe I should cut the budget. You're looking at what your expenses were, how much money came compared to the expenses. You make an account. That's when you're sitting with the accountant. The accountant is telling you, listen, I think you're putting too much money in advertising. Maybe put some more money into equipment, whatever it is. But you're doing an annually account to know how to better invest for the next year. Same time as the time of Elul. During a year, we're serving Hashem. We don't really concentrate on every little thing that we do. We have our busy life, have a busy schedule. We don't constantly every day do what's called cheshbon nefesh, that even though I have to, but most people comes 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock, whatever it is, they just crash on their bed. They don't sit down and start analyzing what they did that day. If they prayed with the right intention, if they were kind enough. Unfortunately, even though we try to inspire people to do it, but most people don't finish their day that way. The right way to finish the day is to sit, whether it's on your bed or on your couch, and to do an account. How was I today? Did I wake up on time? Was I nice to my wife? Was I a nice neighbor? Did I do everything that Hashem wants me to do? Did I pray with the right intention? And you make an account. Now, if you do that every day, you are guaranteed that you are 100% every day. Because at the end of the day, you do tshuva. And you're able to fix everything bad that you do. Comes Yom Kippur, all you need to do is be fasting for the entire day, and that's it. Story's over. But if you leave everything for the last minute, how can you do tshuva on the day of Yom Kippur for the last 12 months. How can you remember what you did 10 months ago? How can you remember what you did a month ago? So we know that the right way of doing it is at the end of the day, you sit, whether it's on your bed, whether it's downstairs, doesn't matter where it is, but you make an account of the day. And if you do that, then you know the next day, okay, I need to apologize to her, I didn't talk nice to her, I owe him money, this I need to fix, yesterday I wasn't so great here and there. So this is called cheshbon nefesh, that I'm looking at my behavior and I'm making an account. And not only that, that's on a daily basis, on Erev Shabbat. A woman, before she lights candles, she should take some time to pray mincha. It's a very auspicious time, and the same thing. Sit for 10 minutes and make an account. How was I the entire week? Did I pray every day? Check. Did I do what I'm supposed to do? Check. How much Lashon Hara did I speak this week? Okay, so next week I'll speak a little bit less Lashon Hara. Whatever it is, you make an account. Not only women. I'm turning to you by saying, before you light candles, man should do the same thing before he goes to the mikveh, getting prepared for Shabbat. Same thing on Rosh Chodesh. Now on Tuesday is Rosh Chodesh, so Monday night, it's the time, Erev Rosh Chodesh, it's like a Yom Kippur Katan, a mini Yom Kippur. Some even have the custom to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh is such an auspicious time that one can do tshuva for the entire month and also get atoned for everything for the entire month. And if a person lives like this for their entire year, then they have nothing to worry about. Yeah, we're human, we make mistakes, but Hashem says, no problem, I'll give you an exit. You know, sometimes you drive on a highway, if you miss the exit, you're going for another 30 miles till you reach the next exit. Hashem says, no, I'll give you every mile an exit. That you don't, even if you make a mistake, you don't have to drive down now 30, 40, 50 miles till the next exit to make a U-turn. I'll give you every day an exit. So every day Hashem gives us the opportunity to do tshuva, to say kriyat shema l'amita, and to say, okay, I made a mistake, let me correct it. If you neglect it one day, another day, another day, it starts accumulating, and before you know it, now you're carrying a bag full of dirt. I gave once an example that once I came home, it was very late at night, and my wife told me, listen, I owe the neighbor $40 because I didn't have cash to pay the cleaning lady. So I borrowed $40 from my neighbor, just know that we owe her $40. So I gave her $40 and I told her, go and pay the neighbor right now. And she says, it's 10 o'clock at night, what's the rush, I'll do it tomorrow morning. I said, no, tomorrow morning you're going to forget. You're going to have to prepare 6 kids for school, it's going to be rush, going to be action, and you're going to forget. And then you're going to go about your daily chores and you're going to completely forget about it. Now she's not going to forget, and a day will pass, 2 days will pass, and you will forget because you're busy, because it's $40, it's not $40,000. Now what's going to happen is she's not going to forget, and every day she's going to see you in the hall and she's going to look at you like, where's my $40? It's not about the money, it's about the fact that I gave you. And then what's going to happen, you're going to continue forgetting, so she's going to start telling everybody on the building, you know, I gave her $40, and she never gave it back. And now every time you'll run into her in the hallway, she's going to look at you in a funny way. And then the other neighbors are going to, and then you're going to cause this whole entire thing. And months will pass and she will not pass. She will not forget that you owe her money. You will totally forget about it. And now who needs this? How much anger and Lashon Hara is going to happen from one little act? And you know what's going to happen? Half a year down the line, suddenly she's going to burst. You owe me $40. How dare you, chutzpah? So I told her, just pay now the money and finish with it. So we tend to push things off. I'll do it tomorrow. And you know, when you strike the iron while it's hot. Sometimes you have a bad day, you lose your temper, and you scream. You scream at your husband, you scream at your child, you scream at a neighbor. And then 5 minutes later you calm down. That's the time to go and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I want to apologize for screaming at you. If you neglect it after that 5, 10, 15 minutes, the next day, you already don't see the reason to go and apologize because it's already calmed down. At least on your side, it calmed down. The person that was screamed at, that didn't calm down. So our Hashem tells us, I'm giving you every day an exit.
The person has to feed you, or Hashem has to feed you? If you scream and yell at somebody?
You scream at somebody and that person is hurt by you, that person has to forgive you.
Does Hashem have to also forgive you?
No, Hashem pulls himself out of the game. Hashem actually tells us, listen, when you come to me on Yom Kippur, I'll forgive you for everything that you did in front of me. What's called Ben Adam LaMakom. But anything between one person and another person, Ben Adam LaChavero, that's not my business. Now if comes Yom Kippur, and you're going to walk into my shul, and another person on the other side of town is upset at you, because you insulted that person, or you humiliated them, or you screamed at them, or you owed them money, or whatever it is, don't come into my shul. I'm not going to forgive you for anything that you did for me if there's one person out there that is upset at you. That's why I'm giving you 40 days now to start going to every person and to make, to make amends with that person. And you slowly, you want to clear things out because Hashem says, I'll forgive you for everything that you did in front of me. Ben Adam LaMakom. The worst sins, I'll forgive you if you really do tshuva. But I cannot forgive you for hurting another person. And if that person is going to come and cry and say, that person hurt me, insulted me, that person owes me money, whatever it is, that person cheated me, whatever it is, then Hashem says, I'm very sorry, I can't help you here. So we have 40 days to start turning to one person after the other, all my loved ones, all the ones that I don't love, and to start apologizing. and saying, listen, I screamed at you half a year ago, it wasn't the right thing to do. I know you were embarrassed in front of the entire group and I want to apologize. So you want to do it the right way. That's why we have 40 days to, and not to push it. The point is that we don't want to push it till the last moment. That's our human nature, to push things to the very last moment. You know, my kids are going today to spend some time with their grandparents. For them it's like going to Wonderland. So, you know, I pack, you know, when the cab driver calls me, I'm on my way, I start packing my bag. That's me. My kids packed already last week.
Wow.
So they're already prepared. My mom called me. She told me, I'm coming to the pick. Are they packed? I told her, they packed already in Sukkot. They're already packed. So that's a child. They're not waiting for the last moment. That chas v'shalom, they're not going to forget anything. They packed every little toy, the car and this ball, and why are you taking the toy with you? In case, I might want to play with it. You're going for 4 days. You don't need your toys. You're going to have enough fun. No, just in case. So kids pack 3 weeks in advance. So we should learn from kids. I always look at my kids and I try to see what I can learn from them. People think that the adults educate the kids. A smart adult look at the kid and lets the kid educate them. So, but unfortunately most people have an ego and they don't say, well, my child will teach me. Yeah. So I look at my children and I see what I need to refine. How quickly they forgive. How quickly they forget. You know, a child, you take their toy, they make a whole geschrei out of it. 3 minutes later, they're their best friend. Yeah. So just give them a little bit of ice cream. So you can learn a lot from kids. So one of the things that we should learn from kids is to not push things to the last moment. That's what usually happens. Oh, Elul, I love Elul, you can do tshuva. And then on the last day of Elul, oh my gosh, I didn't do anything. We have a custom taught by the Baal Shem Tov that every day of the month of Elul, we read 3 chapters of Tehillim. On Aleph Elul, we read Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, 1, 2, and 3. Bet Elul, we read Dalet, Hey, and Vav, and so forth. And from the 9th of Tishrei, meaning the Erev Yom Kippur, then we have a Seder. We're going to learn it now, Bezrat Hashem, that you read 9 chapters before Kol Nidre, 9 chapters after Kol Nidre. The point is to finish one book of Tehillim till Yom Kippur. Because on Yom Kippur, we should read another book of Tehillim. And therefore, we read 2 books of Tehillim by the end of Yom Kippur. Each book of Tehillim has 150 chapters. Together, it makes 300. 300 is the gematria, the numerical value of the word kaper, atone. And if we read 2 books of Tehillim, then we can reach to the level that we can easily be atoned for our sins.
Between Rosh Chodesh and Yom Kippur.
From Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur, we have to read a whole book. And on Yom Kippur, you want to read a whole entire book too. I mentioned a couple of times that on Yom Kippur, let's do it because my wife needs help with kids, but when we had a small amount of kids or no kids at all, I would stay the whole Yom Kippur and shul. No point of coming back and no point of going to sleep. So I would read throughout the entire night of Yom Kippur three books of Tehillim. So there's nothing else to do. You can't eat, you can't, you want to sleep on Yom Kippur. So you want to read as much as Tehillim as you can on Yom Kippur. So this custom taught by the Baal Shem Tov is to read every day three chapters of Tehillim. That's the big deal, three chapters. And most people, what they do, oh my God, they wake up 3 days before the end of Elul. I forgot to read the chapters. So if you spread it out in installments, every day three, it's not so bad. You keep it for the last minute. I know so many people that on Erev Yom Kippur, okay, now I have to read two books because I forgot the entire month of Elul.
300 is, you said, the gematria for kaper?
The gematria of the word kaper, the word kaper, the gematria is 300. To forgive, to atone. So I want to read 300 chapters of Tehillim so I can be atoned, so I can be forgiven for my sins. This is a secret from the Baal Shem Tov. So why am I saying that? Because people push it to the end. Okay, I'll read tomorrow the chapters. Tomorrow I'll complete it. When I would come to CERN, whether it will be friends, students, whatever it is, did you read today the three chapters? Oh, I forgot. I'll do it tomorrow. Why do it tomorrow? So comes our sages. Excuse me?
I'm sorry to interrupt again. Can you just do a whole book in one sitting during that? Or is it better to do it in these little slots?
If you can do, it has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. If you can do two books of Tehillim on Yom Kippur, good, go ahead. But the reality is that most people come Yom Kippur, they come with big plans, and then 10 o'clock hits, and they're like, okay, I want to go to sleep. So the smart person, like my kids, that pack a week in advance, they're not waiting for the last moment. It's very noble and courageous to say, come Yom Kippur, I will stay up and read two books of Tehillim. An average person takes him 3-4 hours to read one book. You're talking about 8 hours? The Yetzer Hara comes on Yom Kippur and tells you, it's okay, go to sleep, Hashem will forgive you. It's Yom Kippur. So why wait for the last moment?
Okay.
You know, it's the same thing with anything in this world. If you have the opportunity of breaking it into increments, why should I take in one shot a heavy load? If I can do every day, three chapters every day, that's what it takes. You only have maybe 4 days that the chapters are long. So it will take you 7 minutes instead of 4 minutes. So if a person says, listen, no, I'm going to be up all night on Yom Kippur, fine, go ahead. I used to do that. We used to finish Kol Nidre around 9, 10 o'clock at night. What's to do? I can't eat. I can't do anything. Might as well sit and read Tehillim. So the first year I read one book. I finished like around 2 in the morning. I was like, what's the point of sleeping? I have 24 hours that the books are open. Now's the time for me. Now's my chance. I came with 17 years of baggage. It was my first Yom Kippur. I was like, okay, let me go to the next book. I read the next book. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'm going to go to sleep now. The minyan is starting soon. I read another book. So that's the time. But when you have the opportunity to break it down to installments, so to say, do that. Don't push. This is a very good midah, a very good character trait, is not to push things to the last minute. When you push things to the last minute, then it starts becoming rush, and you can't do that. In the month of Elul, we want to make sure that we're not pushing things to the last minute, because that's usually what happens. You let the month of Elul pass, suddenly Rosh Hashanah hits, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't do anything the whole month of Elul. Now I have 9 days till Yom Kippur. And the reality is, this is the reality. We are human. We do a lot of mistakes. Whether we do it intentionally, whether we do it deliberately, it doesn't matter. The reality is that Hashem says, I want you to admit. That's why we read on the 30 days of Elul, on the entire 40 days of Elul, we start reading Slichot. Some read it from Rosh Chodesh Elul, some read it from the last week of Elul, each one by their custom. But when we read Slichot, what do we read constantly? 13 attributes of mercy. Every couple paragraphs, we say, Hashem, Hashem, Kelachum, Chanun, Kehachapayim, Varav Chesed, Ve'emet, we read the 13 attributes of mercy. And this is called vidui. I'm admitting. Hashem says, just admit. I don't need you to start. You know, when my kids, they get in trouble, they start to come to me with all these excuses. Tell them, I don't need to hear excuses. Admit. Say I was wrong. End of story. You don't have to come and tell me, but she said and he said and that. Same thing with Hashem. He says, why are you coming to me with all these excuses? Just admit. Said, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. That's it. I had the yetzer hara. I had a desire. I could not stand the temptation. Hashem says, I don't need excuses. So same thing here. We got to learn from that. That Hashem says, listen, you don't be your own advocate. Don't come and blame it. She said like this, so I had to do like that. And you know, I used to be like this when I was a student. I would get in trouble. I would come with all the excuses. And my teachers will tell me, I think I believe you. Who cares about your excuses? So, and I see it again. I tell you, I learn from my kids. When my kids get in trouble, or one of them fights with the other, and they know one will get in trouble, then they come with the one kid. One of my kids is a lawyer. Yeah, I can send him already now for law school with all the excuses. And but she said, and then he said, and then. And my answer is always the same. I don't care about the excuses. Just admit. Say I was wrong. If you say I was wrong, I take responsibility. I'll forgive you on the spot, just because you admit it. Same thing here. Hashem says, listen, I don't need you to give me excuses. You had a yetzer hara, you didn't have a yetzer hara, she was at fault, he said this. Hashem says, admit. That's why we say three times a day, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, to what it means, Ashamnu, Bagadnu. Ashamnu is I have sinned, Bagadnu, I have traded, Gazalnu, I have taken without permission. Hashem says, all I need you to do is admit. I'll forgive you. You do the vidui, I will forgive. So in the month of Elul, we want to get the system running. And we want to know, understand that Elul is the time that it's like a refuge city, that I can go in and I'm protected. Hashem says, I know what you did the entire year. Start reviewing it, start making an account, and start making amends. And if I hurt somebody, go and apologize. I owe somebody money, go and close the bill. I know it's embarrassing, but go to the person and says, I know I neglected it for half a year, but I owe you money. How can I pay you? I don't have money now. Can I give you installments? Can I work for you? What can I do? Maybe you can forgive me. I don't have money. Maybe you can forgive me for the debt. Whatever it is, I want to make sure that in the month of Elul, I'm squaring everything away. So the acronym of Elul, Ani Liado V'Shamti Lach, to understand that it's a refuge time, it's a time for me to get closer to Hashem. Another acronym is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, I'm for my beloved is for me. That hints for tefillah, for prayer. I have to increase in prayer through the month of Elul. If I have a custom of praying three times a day, then now I should make it sure that I'm doing it with a minyan every day. And if I don't have a custom of praying, then now's the time to do it. And our sages teach us that what I didn't do the last 12 months, or the last 11 months, I can catch up on the month of Elul by doing it. And if I didn't have the custom of doing something or I forgot, then now's the time to catch up. Another acronym of Elul is Ish L'Reu Matanot L'Evyonim, which is the acronym again of Elul. This is the translation is a person, we are for each other and we have to give presents for poor people. This is what we do on Purim, Matanot Levyonim. We give charity and presents to poor people. And this is another hint that in the month of Elul, we have to increase in a lot of charity. So we have to increase in prayer, we have to increase in, first of all, do tshuva, and we have to increase in charity. If I have the custom of giving once a day a quarter or a dollar, then today give $2 or whatever it is. But every day of the month of Elul has to be full of charity. And not only charity with money, also charity with my time and charity with my house, with my car, with everything. To be very charitable. Another interesting acronym is coming from the pasuk Umal Hashem et levavcha et levav zaracha. That Hashem will remove the foreskin of your heart and the foreskin of your offspring. The same way that a baby, when he's 8 days old, they're doing a circumcision to remove the foreskin that covers the holiness. Then that's the time when Hashem removes the foreskin from your heart, that our heart is more softer, ready to do tshuva. So we want to take all these things and apply them. Another thing that we have a custom to do on Elul is, even though according to halacha you only need to check your mezuzot and your tefillin every 7 years, some go by every 3.5 years, but we do have a custom that every Elul we check our mezuzot and our tefillin. I explained once, based on the teachings of Kabbalah, that when a person does a sin, chas v'shalom, he creates a klipa, a shell, a negative entity. And that klipa, in order for it to be, so to say, protected from being annulled or destroyed, then the klipot, they go and hide in the parchment of the mezuzah. And they go in between, and that's where they hide, and you can't find them. That a good angel, you do now tshuva, and a good angel needs to destroy them, they can't reach them. And the fact that you take the mezuzah, or the tefillin, and to the sofer, to the scribe, and he opens the scroll, just by the fact that he opens the scroll, these klipot, they disappear. Even if the mezuzah is 100% kosher. Just the fact that he opened it. So you see, many times that there's a problem, people tell you, check your tefillin, check your mezuzot. When people used to go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe with problems, the first thing he would tell them, check your tefillin, check your mezuzah. Even though, no, I checked it 2 months ago. Check it again. Why? Because in the parchment, there's you just by the fact that the scribe opens it, he releases already these klipot. So we have a custom to checking our mezuzot, checking our tefillin, making sure that it's also 100%. And that's a very good thing to do. Besides that, the scribe also needs some parnasa. Not that I'm promoting now sofrim, but they also need parnasa. Another thing that we start doing from the first day of Elul till the day of Hoshana Rabbah, we add a certain chapter of Tehillim into our prayers in Shacharit and in Mincha. That's LeDavid Hashem Mizmor. LeDavid Hashem Ori. We add that, and you will find it in all the Sidurim. This is a chapter that we add in our prayers. We also have another custom of blowing the shofar every day after the prayer of Shacharit. So it's a good custom even for women to join a minyan on the month of Elul, A, to make them prayer, and B, to be able to hear the blowing of the shofar. And if you can't make it to a minyan to hear a shofar, then you ask your husband to blow a shofar for you, or your neighbor or somebody, because the sound of the shofar arouses the neshama to do tshuva. Like a little kid that is lost and you scream his name, he wakes up. The neshama, when it hears the sound of the shofar, it arouses the neshama, the soul, to do tshuva. It's a very important thing to do. Another thing that we added, like I told you, it's a custom taught by the Baal Shem Tov that every day after the prayer, you don't have to do it after the prayer, but we add every day these three chapters of Tehillim that we read to reach to a point that at Yom Kippur I have reached another whole book of Tehillim. From Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur we do three chapters a day. And then what we do, on Yom Kippur we do 36 chapters. 9 before Kol Nidrei, 9 before we go to sleep, 9 after Musaf, and 9 after Neilah. And I know it's very hard after Neilah suddenly to say another 9 chapters of Tehillim. This is like, that's it, Neilah, let me go, let me eat. Now another 9 chapters of Tehillim and Kiddush Levana and everything. So this is a very, very good custom to do. Another custom that we have is from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, we start greeting each other When we write a letter, when we see each other, we greet each other, it's that you should have Ktiva v'chatima tova, Lashana tova u'metuka. It's very good already, at this point, that when you see somebody or you say goodbye, we're going to say goodbye to Amy very soon, we're going to wish her Ktiva v'chatima tova, even though Yom Kippur is in a month and a half, we still, from Rosh Chodesh Elul, can already start greeting each other. I'm going to come, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm leaving on Tuesday, but I'm returning on Chai Elul. Chai Elul is the 18th day of Elul, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to have a big event going on here, so I might not have the opportunity to teach you before that, but from the 18th day of Elul, that's when really Elul kicks into gear. 18 days we were warming the engine, from the 18th day of Elul, that's when the power of Elul is really kicking in. It's a very special day. It's the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov. It's the birthday of the Baal HaTanya. It's a birthday of many other great people that we know. But it's a very auspicious time. And our sages teach us that that's the last 12 days of Elul. So every day from those 12 days can atone for the entire month that corresponds to that day. So we know that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Aleph Elul, I can do tshuva for the Aleph, for the first day of all the months of all the year. Bet Elul, I will do tshuva for the Bet, for the second day of Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, and so forth. That's how I have to look at it. That today, whenever it's like, will be Aleph Elul, let me do tshuva for all the first day of all the months. Comes the 19th day of Elul, which will be Yutet Elul, then I can do tshuva in those 12 days. The first day will be for the entire month of Tishrei. The second day will be for the entire month of Cheshvan, and so forth. So the 12 days, the last 12 days of Elul are the most auspicious time, when a person really can kick in the power of the month of Elul. And one should take to take that into consideration, because it's literally like an express... how do you call it when you go to the supermarket? You have the regular cashiers, and then you have the express lane, and you sometimes they open the express lane, and even if you have a full cart, they tell you, okay, just come in. Or now they have in America, they have the HOV lanes, the high occupancy vehicle lanes, and they promote, put more people in the car, and you can go in the fast lane. And of course, there's always the Israelis who go in the fast lane, even for a single driver.
And then there's people with the blow-up doll in their seat.
Something like that. And they're like, let me take the express lane. So we have to take the express lane is the month of Elul. And especially the last 12 days is the express lane when I can hop up and hop on and go very, very fast. So Be'ezrat Hashem, these days of mercy, the days of Rachamim of Elul, should be taken advantage. We should see that every day is used for the fullest, that we can do tshuva. Hashem is very close to us, is very accessible to come and ask for forgiveness. And, you know, everybody's concentrating on asking for forgiveness and doing tshuva. I like more concentrating on the fact that if Hashem is so accessible, he's so close to us, instead of coming and telling him, forgive me for what I did, just come and tell him, can you just send Mashiach and let him finish the job? We concentrate a lot on doing tshuva, which is good, but we should not forget that Hashem is very accessible and is listening to our prayers. And instead of just thinking of myself, let me think of other people. Let me take the time and every day read some Tehillim to a sick person. And let me read some Tehillim for the Klal Israel, and let me do some charitable act for the zchut, for the merit of the entire world, and not to just think so in the box of, oh, I have to be atoned and I have to be forgiven. Let me concentrate on that too, but let me concentrate on what am I doing today for the rest of the world. Let me volunteer an hour of my time, which it's not so convenient for me and it's not so comfortable for me, but I want to give something to the world. And maybe my charitable act will put the world in a much better place. And very few people take the approach. We read the acronym of Ani Ledodi VeDodi Li. I'm for my beloved is for me. Most people don't read it the right way. It says, I'm for my beloved. What can I do for my beloved? Why should I come and say, what can my beloved do for me? Forgive me. Erase my sins. Ignore my behavior. Our sages come and says, Ani Lidudi, what can I do for you? I should wake up in the morning and tell Hashem, what can I do for you? Forget about my sins right now. What can I do for you? Can I save a soul for you? Can I go after a lost soul in the world and one of your children and save them? What can I do for you, Hashem? And the approach of what can I do for you, then Hashem says, okay, now that you did something for me, what can I do for you? And of course, what you can do for me is send me Mashiach. So, Bezrat Hashem, we want to concentrate on this month to be able to achieve great levels of tshuva. And the way to do tshuva, we mentioned it yesterday in Seudah Shlishit, that we learned yesterday about the parasha of Re'eh. And it's talking about, Re'eh ani noten lifnechem et haklala, et habracha v'et haklala. Hear and look and see that I'm giving to you the curse and the blessing. So one can interpret it as a blessing and a curse, chas v'shalom. But the teachings of Hasidut explains that the blessing corresponds to love and the curse is corresponding to fear. And we have to serve Hashem with love and with fear. Yirava and Ahava. And we have to have both of them. The Zohar explains that the love and the fear is like two wings. Trei gadfin. And the same way that a bird, if he wants to take off, a bird cannot flap one wing and take off. It needs two wings. And if it doesn't have both wings, it cannot take off. So same thing here. I have to serve Hashem with love and with fear. And if not, my service, my love, my prayer will not take off, will not ascend up. So I have to have the love and the fear. I have to have both the combination. So the way to do tshuva is I have to do tshuva also from fear. But mainly my tshuva has to be done from love. And tshuva from love is not because I feel so bad for the things that I did, rather because I love my master and I want to make sure that I'm doing his commandments. So the tshuva that I have to concentrate on the month of Elul is not only from the fear that I'm going to be barbecued in Gehenom because I did something, rather because I want to do it for my master. I want to do it for Klal Yisrael. I want to do it for my loved ones. I want to do tshuva because it's the right thing to do. And I have to concentrate through the entire month that my approach has to be both with fear and both with love. And the love, you know, is the motion of spreading. Fear is usually a motion of closing in, and love is more of a motion of spreading. So I have to concentrate on what can I do outwards? How can I increase my love to my fellow people around me? And to how can I spread that love? And how can I spread that good vibe that not only I will do tshuva, that everybody around me should do tshuva? Bezrat Hashem, if we have enough people in the same boat of tshuva and love and spreading the beautiful teachings of Hashem, then bemet, finally Hashem will forgive us and send us our Redeemer. Bezrat Hashem should really take advantage of the month of Elul, and I hope that wishes and wish for ourselves that this is going to be the last Elul that we have to do tshuva. Bezrat Hashem, we will be celebrating Rosh Hashanah in Beit HaMikdash.